Grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The words that capture our attention this morning from John chapter 15 are these. When Jesus said, If you love one another, you will remain or abide in my love. If you love one another, you will abide in my love. Just to set the stage. Jesus is speaking to us this morning from that upper room. This is the night on which he would be betrayed. Remember the Last Supper. And so he's speaking to his disciples. And within a matter of hours, he'll be arrested. Within 24 hours, he'll be dead. But they don't know that. But he does. And so as we listen in on our Lord's words this morning, we're listening in on his farewell speech to his disciples. And those words are curious, if not a little bit troubling, don't you think? Jesus says, if you love one another, then you will remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. And that should be troubling just a little bit to our Christian ears. Because when we sit and we really think about it, we're not so good at keeping God's commands. So then where does that leave us? Where does that leave us as we think about, well, wait a minute, I thought the heart of the gospel, I thought the good news of Jesus was that he loves me despite my inability to keep his commands. That his love for me is unconditional and independent of how I do. And so we should wrestle with this just a little bit. Jesus is indeed making the connection between love and obedience, sure enough. But the real question that we need to ask ourselves this morning is, which comes first? See, some people get it confused. How many of you have ever walked down the street of a big city and soon you come across the street corner preacher? The gospel preacher. You know the kind I mean? He's standing there screaming at the people through a battery-operated bullhorn. And at 150 decibels, he's calling the people out about their lives. He's ranting about rock music and dancing. He's ranting about gambling and smoking. He's ranting about fornication. Woe to you, you sinners. And until you get your life together, well, you better repent, you sinner scum. And I sometimes wonder how many people he stops. How many people stop and engage him and say, wow, I guess you got a point. I don't see that very often. And there's a reason for that. Because these people holding these bullhorns and screaming at 150 decibels are in fact not gospel preachers. They're law preachers. And I'm here to tell you that all the screaming and the yelling and ranting in the world cannot change a person's heart. And there's only one thing that can. And that's love. Isn't that what Jesus uses to change our hearts? If his disciples would have left the upper room that evening to go out and change the world, to go out and love as he first loved them, they would have fallen short. Why? They didn't know yet what the fullness of Jesus' love was really about. Oh, sure, they had walked with him and talked with him and lived with him for 3 years or so in his earthly ministry, and he had seen him love others. They had just witnessed the ultimate sacrificial type of love as he washed their feet there in the upper room. But they did not yet know the fullness of his love, because it was only Thursday. Tomorrow they would know. Tomorrow they would look into the eyes of their dying Savior, and they would know for the first time what that love actually is. On Friday they would look into the heart of their Savior and see what he meant when he said, "There is truly no greater love than that a man would lay down his life for his friends." Then and only then would they really be prepared to go out into this world and love one another. Then and only then will their lives have first been changed by Christ's love. And it'll change them forever. One of my favorite stories of all time I wanted to share with you today. I'm going to read it because it's a little bit longer than usual. But I think it really, for me anyway, it really helps to see, well, what do we mean by Jesus' love transforms us and changes us? There was a pastor who, on Sunday morning, as the people had come to expect, stood up after the hymn of the day and walked over to the pulpit. But before he gave his sermon that morning, he briefly introduced a guest minister who was in the congregation that day. In the introduction, the pastor told the congregation that the guest minister was one of his dearest childhood friends, and that he wanted to have him stand up and say a few words for a few moments to greet the church and to share whatever he felt would be appropriate for the service that day. Well, with that, an elderly man stepped up to the pulpit and began to speak. A father, his son, and a friend of his son's were sailing off the Pacific coast, the elderly preacher began, when a fast approaching storm blocked any attempt to get back to shore. The waves were so high that even though the father was an experienced sailor, he couldn't keep the boat upright. And so the three were swept into the ocean as the boat capsized. The old man hesitated for a moment as he happened to make eye contact with two teenagers sitting in the congregation. For the first time since the service had begun, they were looking somewhat interested in the story. So the aged minister continued. Grabbing a rescue line, the father had to make the most excruciating decision of his life. Which boy would he throw the other end of the line to? He only had seconds to make the decision. The father knew that his son was a Christian and that his son's friend was not. The agony of his decision could not be matched by the torrent of waves. The father yelled out, "I love you, son," and he threw out the lifeline to his son's friend. By the time the father had pulled the friend back to the capsized boat, the son had disappeared beneath the raging swells into the black of the night, and his body was never recovered. By this time, the two teenagers in the congregation were sitting up straight in the pew, anxiously awaiting for the next words to come out of the old minister's mouth. The father, the pastor continued, knew his son would step into eternity with Jesus, but he couldn't bear the thought of his son's friend stepping into eternity without Jesus. Therefore, he sacrificed his son to save his son's friend. With that, the old man turned and sat back down in his chair as silence filled the room. The pastor, younger, then walked slowly to the pulpit and delivered a brief sermon. Within minutes after the service ended, the two teenagers were at the old man's side. "That was a nice story," stated the boys politely, "but I don't think it was realistic." "I don't think it was realistic," they said, "for a father to give up his son's life in the mere hopes that the other boy would maybe, possibly, someday become a Christian." "Well, you've got a point there," the old man replied, glancing down at his worn Bible. A big smile broadened his narrow face. He once again looked up at the boys and said, "It sure isn't realistic, is it? But I'm standing here today to tell you that the story gives me just a glimpse of what it must have been like for God to give up his only son for me." You see, the father was I in that boat that day, and your pastor was my son's friend. And a teenager that day came face to face with what it means to be loved unconditionally. That's what our Father in heaven feels about you. Does Jesus require obedience? Yeah. Does he require that we love one another as he first loved us? Yes. But not before we're first transformed by his love. Not at all until first he has his way with us by loving us unconditionally. Our Heavenly Father bet his own son life that day that by loving in us in this extraordinary way, it would flow through us to the rest of the world. And it's a bet he won that first Easter morning. It's a bet he won in the unfairness of God's love, the unrealisticness of God's love for you. But yet it's a bet he won. That day he threw a lifeline to you in the waters of baptism and pulled you into everlasting life. It's a bet he won. Every day you rise to new life and he calls you to live a life of love on his behalf. Not because we first loved him and then not somehow because we obeyed him and woke up one day worthy of his love. No. No, because he first loved you and promises to always do so. Now go and do likewise. Amen.